Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Victory in Jesus. Miss Kim, turn it. How many knows you got victory this morning? Amen. Let's sing it out now. I've heard an old story. I sing it.
I've heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory.
How he came
to Calvary. I fought Calvary to save a wretch like. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. I sing it, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, yes. With his redeeming blood. Oh, and he loved me, yeah. I knew him, and all my love is through him. He punched
to be neat. Sing the last now. Oh, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. Then today I'll sing up there the song of victory. All right, let's pick it up, let's sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, yes, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, yes, and he loved me, yeah. I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to his victory beneath. Sing it one more time. Sing it out, yes. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Some of the wins tonight, folks, know this, but that song is really dear to my heart. There's an old fella named Wally in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Wally was the town drunk. His feet were twisted in and his hands were twisted up. First time I ever saw Wally, I was on visitation. I was 10 years old. Maybe 11. And Andre Valancourt and I, on Saturday, 40 below zero, snow falling like crazy, and we're out visiting bus kids. And after we went visiting, there was a place we went to eat that Andre called the Greasy Spoon. And if you went there to eat, you would know that was a compliment and maybe a grade higher than it should have been. But so we were in there eating, and this man came in with a big old case of beer under his arm, and feet twisted up, hands twisted up, but he could carry that beer. Well, time went by, and Andre, the man that I was visiting with, brought Wally to the house, and there, the town drunk, Dad led him to the Lord. Now, the reason that song is dear to me, because Wally, the town drunk, was saved and then was baptized. Amen. He was baptized in the middle of winter in a baptismal pool where the water was drawn right out of Lake Superior in the middle of winter with no water heater. And Dad said, this is going to kill you. Your health is bad. Da, da, da. And Wally, he demanded to be baptized. And we have a picture somewhere When Wally came out of the water, he was as red as any lobster you've ever seen in your life. And it like killed him. Then as he grew in the Lord, and I remember we went bowling one time, and there was Wally. And he wanted to bowl with his feet twisted in, his hands twisted up. And so they said, okay, Wally, you can bowl. Well, he grabbed that bowling ball, and he threw it. When he threw it, he went up in the air, twisted up, and landed flat on his back on that hardwood floor. And, of course, everybody ran to Wally, and they said, Wally, are you okay? Are you okay? And I remember what he said. He said, just looking up, brethren. But Wally, the town drunk, used to sing that song. It is no secret what God can do. God will save the town drunk. He'll save the drug addict. He'll save. I want to tell you this, what he'll do. He'll save. You ready for this? He'll save the homosexuals. You say he'll say, yeah. They won't stay in their sin. They'll come out of that mess, that perversion, if they're born again. He'll save them. You know who else he'll save? He'll save all these little kids over here. Amen. Hey, wasn't it good on the 4th of July when we brought the flags down and the Bible down during the ceremony? And there was a young man carrying the American flag that we went out, picked up on the bus, and he became born again. Wasn't it nice when another young person carrying the Christian flag was also a convert that came in on the bus and was born again?
Amen.
And what about the little girl who was carrying the Bible? A convert here at Westside Baptist Church, born again. I tell you what, he'll save the most dirty, rotten sinner. He'll save these youngins. I was saved when I was 6 years old, so I know he'll save youngins.
Amen.
That's who. It is no secret what God can do.
Right.
Brother Dave, you do what you feel led to do right now.
I'm My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Sing, choir. Practiced this song the other Sunday night and for about 30 minutes, and then got up here and did it in service, and they haven't practiced it since, but I want them to sing it for us this morning. The first thing I do every morning when I get up is I open the Bible and read, and the Lord just starts my day off that way and blesses and helps me. I was reading an Old Testament story about a Shunammite woman that was barren. And in the Old Testament, in those times, for a woman to be barren was a shame. And the prophet Elisha had come through and was staying at their house so much, they built a prophet's chamber, built a room for him to have a place to stay. And for them taking care of the man of God, the Lord blessed her and said, I'm going to give her a child. The account goes that the child was born, and he grew up a few years old, and he was out in the fields with his dad, working the heat of the day, grabbed his head, said, my head, and they said, take him to his mom. The child sat on her lap and died. She told him, said, lay the child in the prophet's room on his bed. Saddle me a donkey. The Old Testament, they didn't have Christ and access to God the same way that we do. They went through priests, they went through prophets, and to have access to God. And She knew that her child had died, but she had been promised to God. Where did she go? She went to get the prophet because she knew she could get to God. She went. He was going to send one of his servants back, and she said, "Oh, no, I'm going to wait on you. You're going with me back." The Bible says the prophet came in, went upstairs, and the boy died. Said he laid his body across him, got close to him, as close as he could get, put his eyes on his eyes, his lips on his lips, his arms on his arms. Prayed to God. Had to get up, walked around, did it a second time, did it a third time. The child sneezed. Life came again. All because a mother went to get God. Sometimes in our lives, maybe health, maybe finances, maybe spiritual condition, we're just not where we need to be with the Lord spiritually. Maybe it's our prayer life. Maybe it's our family, husband, wife situation. We need to go get God today. It's the only way we're truly going to get the situations in our lives fixed and taken care of. Somebody go get God. You may be sitting here today and you say, "Well, everything's good with me, Dave. Everything's going." We say it all the time. You're either headed to a storm in the middle of one or just coming out of one as a Christian. And if you're in a good place right now, you say, "Well, I just don't have anything to pray about." Turn and look down the road. How many of you have a serious need today? A serious, and you're willing to raise your hand. Dave, it's serious. Look at that. Look down that road. Somebody go get God on their behalf.
Till we ask him, somebody needs to pray.
Somebody go get God.
tell you what, God has been good to Westside Baptist Church. And I tell you, I can't get enough of it. I like it. Glad you're in the house of God today. 1 Samuel chapter 22. We find here that David is on the run. The hammer has finally fallen completely. There's no gray area. There's no blurry lines. The fact of the matter is Saul is now openly trying to destroy David. David flees to Ahimelech, the priest there in Nod. Of course, David doesn't have anything. No food, no shelter, not even a sword in his hand. So David, yes, David, the great man of God, the man that the Lord said that David was a man of his own, after his own heart, David began to crack a little bit. He made some decisions under duress and stress that he shouldn't have made. First thing he did was he lied to the priest. If you read the account, you'll find eventually it cost Ahimelech and the others their lives. Then David went to Gath. All places, Goliath's hometown. And in the process, I mean, think about this, he was even carrying Goliath's sword. How dim and how dumb could you possibly get? But yet, that's what David did, and realizing that he had stepped in over his head. He made another decision, which we'll know, I guess, in eternity whether it was the right one or not. He began to act like a madman. Well, so he was expelled from Gath. And here in verse 1, chapter 22, of 1 Samuel, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. I tell you, David found himself in a dilemma. The foundation of everything that he knew was shaken. Now he's on the run. I want you to notice something about this here in verse 2. These people that gathered themselves around David were not hired hands. Matter of fact, the Bible says here that they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. I want to tell you, folks, one day we were lost and undone. We were in debt, a debt that we could not pay. There was no way we could buy our way out of our situation. We were definitely in distress. The convicting power of God fell upon us and showed us our lost way. And I tell you, once we got a glimpse of Jesus, we became discontented with this old world. And these men found David, a man they believed in. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I believe this may, that these may have been men that were fans of David. And the reason that they may have been in distress, in debt, and discontented is because they were also being persecuted because of their relationship with David. You say, well, that all seemed to unfold just over in the last chapter. How could they be in debt so quickly? Well, I don't know about you, but if you take two paychecks away from me, I'm coming to your house for dinner. And just be honest with you, a lot of you are in that same boat. And so debt would come quickly without a few weeks of pay for all of us. And so these men found David. And these men, United States military, we operate on people that volunteer. That volunteer to serve this country. And right now, man for man, we probably have the most lethal fighting force in the world. Volunteer. Many other countries demand. Here in America, they volunteer. And the end result is we have a great fighting force. These men became a great fighting force. These volunteers became a great fighting force for David. As I mentioned before, King Saul chased the Philistines, but this man named David that was on the run with his little 600 would go out and fight battles and whip up on the old Philistines. When King Saul finally did catch up with the Philistines, we read the account where he was killed. David continued with his volunteer force to get the job done. There's a lot to be said about volunteerism. To be a volunteer, I believe that God's army is an effective fighting force when we, as God's people, put ourselves on the back burner and volunteer to fight for Jesus. I believe with all my heart that there's enough people in this room alone that if we would volunteer to be a participant in the army of God, that we could shake loose. We could turn Noonan upside down for Jesus. Over the next weeks, we're going to start a program called the VIP team. That means volunteering, investing, and progressing. Ladies and gentlemen, the VIP team. The volunteer is going to project the gospel around Noonan, not the hired hands. I guess we could call the hired hands the staff of the church. There's no way that we that are on staff can do the job that needs to be done. It takes you, the volunteers. One thing, what qualifies us to be a volunteer? I want to tell you this right quickly. I'll go ahead and go. What qualifies us to be a volunteer for the army of God? What qualifies us to be on the VIP team at Westside Baptist Church? I want to tell you this. Number one, it takes victory in Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior,
You can't perpetuate the gospel. You can't be involved adequately and effectively if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you want to be a volunteer in God's army, you must have experienced this victory in Jesus. In 1 John 5:4, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We must be overcomers. We must be victorious in Christ in order to be effective volunteers. We also, the O in volunteers stands for others. In other words, we put others before ourselves. A friend of mine, I know you've heard it, a friend of mine preached a message called Joy. Jesus, others than you. To be a volunteer, an effective volunteer, you're going to have to put others before yourself. In Philippians 2:3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others," what? "Better than themselves." Church, you're going to have to put others before yourselves before you'll be an effective volunteer for the army of God. The Bible says, uses this term, esteem. This word esteem means to consider others better than themselves. To deem others better than themselves. Get this, to account other better than themselves. It means to think of better than themselves. Do we not understand that we got to get ourselves out of the way and think of others if we're going to be effective in the army of Christ? The next letter in the word volunteer is L. I believe that letter stands for love for God. Why? Because you're going to wake up. You're going to have a job to do in the church that you volunteer for, and you're not going to feel like doing it. Somebody on the volunteer team is going to rub you the wrong way. The preacher's going to have said something to make you angry. And what's going to keep you going is nothing more, nothing less than the love that you have for God. 1 John 5:2 says this, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God." If you want to know, if you truly love people, you're not in this thing for self-satisfaction or a pat on the back, I want to tell you, you must have a deep love for God. I'm ashamed to say that in our churches today, that the love for God is at a minimal. We have become lovers of ourselves. Why do you think people don't want to hear about Jesus anymore when they come to church? "Well, I want something that's going to help me." Well, if you'll shut up and listen and learn about Jesus, you'll get the help you need. "Well, I know, but I want to know how to pay my power bill." If you'll listen and learn and hear about Jesus, He'll teach you how to pay your bills. Well, I know, but I'm going through a difficult time, and I need a motivational speaker. Well, if you do, cut on the TV. There's a little boy down there in Houston, Texas. And he will motivate you straight to hell. He'll make you feel so good about yourself. And you'll bust hell wide open because he does not preach against sin. He does not preach about the blood and the necessity of the blood. Saying a five-second prayer at the end of the preacher's message is not going to get you into heaven. So we need to understand. We need to love others. And by the way, if we love others, we won't mind offending them now and then. I don't mean to be obnoxious and foolish, but if you tell people about Jesus, you're going to offend them. The gospel offends. The cross offends. The lost and dying world offends. It convicts. I have a neighbor, friendly as get out. All get out. Just have two neighbors, actually. One on this side, one on the other side. But this man is a kind man, and we talk all the time. But when we come out of the house on Sunday morning, and I got my Bible, and he sees we're dressed for church, do you know what he does? I'm there. The gospel, even a hint of a witness for Christ, is going to offend. Christians, offend away with the gospel. Don't be sickening and obnoxious. Just be kind and let Jesus work through you. Because the gospel will offend. We don't have to. We need to love others. We need to be willing to help them. And the only way we're going to get up and do when we do not want to do is to stay in love with Jesus. To be a volunteer, we also have to be unmovable. Consistent, meaning consistent, and focused. 1 Corinthians 15:58 states this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. You know what always means? Always. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be unmovable. This word derived from another Greek word, unmovable, means not to be moved from its place. Where has God planted you? Where does God have you this morning? If you can hear my voice, and you're not on the internet, you're in Westside Baptist Church. God, church members, God has planted you here. Be unmovable. It also means this. Not turned aside by others. Now, folks, this is where we get in trouble. We'll be clicking along, doing our work that we believe God wanted us to do. We volunteered. The nominating committee said, okay. And we're clicking along, and somebody comes into our lives and starts running down the preacher, running down the administration. They start, what do they call them? Negative nannies, nillies. And they start discouraging you. And next thing you know, you're hauling out and off. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to volunteer for God's army. But we, to be effective, must be unmovable. Not only should we be unmovable, but the end means never quit. Dad and I were talking a couple days ago, and a man pastors not too far from here had three missionaries in his church. They left and went to the mission field. They spent one term, if that long, on the mission field. They just got back home. They quit and got a job. I'm not against jobs. I like jobs. Thank God if you have a job, praise the Lord. But if God called them to the mission field, what are they doing here working a job? You know what happened? They quit. They got discouraged, which is easy to do, and they quit. If we're going to be the volunteer we need to be, we need to never, ever quit. There's reasons people give for quitting. I've heard them all. I won't share them all. Some of them are laughable. Some are quite sickening. But one of them is, I'm tired. Well, get in line. My goodness gracious alive, if you're over 55, you stay tired, amen? You're no longer 20, 25 years old, and we go, oh, I'm just too tired. Push through it. Never quit. And then, well, I'm just burned out. You know, or here's one. I'm too busy. Or I have too much on my plate. I want to say this, Christians, and I say it with love, but I say it with conviction. Sometimes it's not how much we have on our plate, it's what we have on our plate which is dragging you down from being a volunteer for the Lord. Never quit. One of the reasons we're starting the VIP team concept is because there's too many people trying to singularly pull a load. It's time that we spread out and help each other bear the burden and the load of the ministry. Say, well, I'm tired. Just hang on. We got help coming. Well, I'm burned out. Just hang on. We got help coming. Well, that's my ministry. You're burned out, remember? Are you crazy? Come on, Christians. Don't tell me you're burned out and then we get help rolling. Well, that's my ministry. I want to tell you this, it's not your ministry. It's not your ministry, it's not my ministry, it's God's. And when we volunteer, we sign up to participate in His ministry, not it become our ministry. And that's the truth, Brother Joe. When it becomes my ministry, we're in trouble. Now, I understand that the terminology, my ministry, sometimes means that ministry, and it should mean this, which God has allowed me to participate in. That's okay. But when we think we are such an island to ourselves that anybody else that might enter our sphere of that particular ministry, it upsets us. That's pride. And then what you're saying is, well, this is my ministry. I have a friend of mine, big city in South Carolina, big church. Every year they put on a play that took 200 or 300 people to put it on. You know what happened? Preacher came in, tried to get new people involved, and move people around a little bit, so give everybody a chance to serve. And some of those people have been there for a long time. Well, that's my ministry. Today, a play that had taken place for 20 years. And every year they would have hundreds of people get saved. Today, that church can no longer put on that play. Because they had a couple men and a couple women that said, well, that's not ministry. They forgot that it's God's ministry, and we're to volunteer for His ministry. It's not for us. It's not for our strife or our vainglory. It's for Jesus. And that's it. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Never quit. Don't forget about the woman who went to the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. She never quit. Never quit praying. Never quit singing the songs of Jesus. Never quit reading your Bible. Brother Dave said the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is read the Bible. You know why you're burned out, why you're tired? You know why you think you got so much on your plate? You're not reading your Bible. Never quit living a consistent Christian life. Well, why is that, preacher? Comes to my next point. The T in volunteer means teach. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. Oh, yes, you are, whether you like it or not. You may not stand before a class and open up the book, but you're a teacher. People are watching you. Last Sunday, God gave me the opportunity to teach the teens, and I had a good time. Even if they didn't, I felt the Spirit of God come into that room. And you know what I told them? I said, across the hall, there's 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. And they're watching everything you do. And they're going to emulate, copy what you do. In other words, they're teaching the kids across the hall how to behave, whether they like it or not, whether they agree to it or not, whether they believe it or not. It doesn't matter. They are. And I want to say to you Christians that we are teaching whether we like it or not. So teach. Teach well. Teach by a good example. These younger Christians are only going to come up and do what you do. Y'all with me? Amen. It's 10 minutes after 12, and I know it. This is important. We got to get this straight today. Because over the next 2 weeks, we're going to give some of you a chance, all of you a chance to volunteer and do something for God. I don't know exactly what the nominating committee will come up with eventually, but we want everybody to have a chance. But we want this thing to be a team effort. There'll be some penalties when we break the rules. I remember years ago, I coached a ball team in the state of Virginia, basketball team, and I said, fellas, if you're late to practice, you do not, and these were the starters, I said, you will not play until the fourth quarter in the next game. You know what happened? One of my power forwards came into practice about 20 minutes late. I said, where were you? He said, I had to work. Next game. We emptied out on the bench onto the floor. That power forward did not start. Ooh. Parents got angry, especially the parents of the power forward. They got angry. They were ticked off. But I'm going to tell you something. I had to do what I did, or the rule would have meant nothing. And I'm here to tell you there will be rules. There will be things that we have to do in order to run Westside Baptist Church properly. I want to tell you something else a good volunteer is. A good volunteer is emotional. I don't mean emotionally stupid. Please understand. But I mean this. I mean, they get excited when they see people grow. We're out in public. We were going to the Lowe's the other day. And here comes one of our bus kids. He started when he was this tall. And now he's this tall. And he saw Lisa and he said, "Hey, Miss Midget." I tell you, that excited us so much that this young boy that was raised in the Catholic home and told that he was to pray to Mary and that the church could get him into heaven. And all of a sudden, this boy that has been born again here at Westside Baptist Church, baptized in that baptismal pool. It's exciting. And Lisa and I got excited. Tell you something else I got excited about. We moved her back into college Wednesday. You say, "Well, do you have the empty nest syndrome?" No, we have the empty nest celebration. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, volunteers, we need to be emotional about seeing these young people and these Christians that are born again, whether it be children or adults, to watch them grow. I get excited. Forgive me for embarrassing you. I hope I don't. I don't believe I will. I wouldn't do it. I watch BJ and his family grow. I get excited about it. The other day, we were around the table talking to some preachers, and I said, "Man, BJ." And I started talking about BJ, where he had been and where he is in Jesus today. Hey, we got excited. And the fellow we were talking to started, he said, "That's what it's all about." We need to get emotional when we see these individuals grow. We need to get emotional when we see people get saved. Do you hear me, volunteers? Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Likewise, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." Ladies and gentlemen, if the angels can rejoice, we can too. And we don't have to wait till we get to the other side. Go ahead and let it loose here. And lastly, the R in our volunteer means reverential. We need to be reverential. What do you mean by that? It means a lot of things. But it means this: admiring. I think we need to admire God. I believe we need to admire or love each other. It means appreciative. Appreciative, yes, what God has done for us, but appreciative instead of feeling like we're doing God a favor. You know why, teachers, you're having a hard time being on time? You know why? Because you think you're doing God a favor. You say, "Well, I want to volunteer to do this, or I want to volunteer to do that, but I just can't make it to church on time." Hogwash. That's a nice way of putting it. If you do not have the ability to be here on time and to serve, then how do you hold down a job? Go ahead and go waltzing into your job tomorrow morning about 30 minutes late. Do that for a week or two or month on end, like we do when we volunteer for Jesus. Hello? I'm just telling the truth, folks. I'm tired of holding back. I'm just going to let it go. I love you, but we've got a ministry to run. This is not a business. It's God's business. And it's time we treat it like God's business instead of like some second-class organization. Hello? We need to be reverential. We need to be admiring one another in love, admiring what God has done for us, appreciative, devout, 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 permanent, dutiful. We need to be gracious. What do you mean? It means that we appreciate God using us in spite of us. We need to be humble. We need to be polite. That's right. I've been polite this morning, haven't I? I really have been. I tell you something else. This word reverential means upholding. We need to uphold one another in prayer and love. That's what we need to do. We need to be reverential if we're going to be a volunteer that's effective for God. Say, brother preacher, you've gone over this morning. I know, but listen, some things need to be said. And folks, if going over a little bit is going to bend you out of shape, next time the boss says, hey, can you stay for an extra hour? Tell him no. I won't do it for church. I'm not going to do it for you either. And I'll see you on the unemployment line. This is what it will take to be on the VIP team. Over the next couple Sundays, we're going to give everybody a chance to volunteer. And then the board of the nomination committee will meet and we'll pray over this and these individuals and positions. And we'll see what God allows us to do. Not today, but by next Sunday, we'll have cards for different ministries you can fill out. I may be interested in this or so forth. You may be asked to do something you don't even sign up for. Can I say to you, don't freak out, it's okay. God may want to grow you. Some of you have been doing the same thing for so long, you become, is it lethargic? Ineffective? And sometimes you just need to shift, change, and learn something new so you can be creative again. We're losing our creativity because too many times God's volunteers are in a rut. Hello. I wish I had a great end to this thing where you guys were hanging from the chandeliers and praising Jesus. But I don't. It's just blunt, straight to the point. To be a volunteer in God's army, I believe these are the principles that we must have. And I'm asking you, Westside Baptist Church, to say this morning, I'm willing to do that. I don't mean with your mouth. I mean with your heart. Because there's going to be a change in leadership. We can't have unfaithfulness. Can't do it. Unfaithfulness is ungratefulness, is what it is. If we're going to set the example, it's got to be done from the top right on over. So what are we going to do with it, Westside Baptist Church? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The invitation, I don't think, is very difficult. I just don't believe that you're going to have a difficult time figuring out what it's about this morning. Say, preacher, it's a little warm in here. I know we've got an air unit out. It's okay. If you go outside, you're going to do more sweating out there than you in here, doing here. If you would start playing the piano, sister, and let's all stand right now. The invitation is open. Say, Lord, I want to be the volunteer the preacher preached about. I want to be used of you. If that's your prayer request, if that's your hope, if that's your need, the altar's open right now.